Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Ask Catherine. This is the week of June 28th, and it's questions as of the end of the day Monday. We're organized by categories. We start with cash and precious metals and basically money questions. Dive right in. Hi, Catherine. I've been digging deep and reviewing all the slurry precious metals building wealth audio with Franklin. I've been a precious metals holder since 2006, and I'm adjusting certain aspects of how I do this after hearing these. As a fan of Alistair MacLeod's Gold Money Reports, do you like the Gold Money program? Franklin and I had recommended Gold Money when it first started. I went over and was able to meet with them at one point and did a fairly significant due diligence of their custodian programs. And they had both James Turk as a founder, but then a couple board members who were really good on custodian risk issues. When James sold and they changed hands, I just didn't feel that the new group had the same mastery of the custodian and integrity issues. And so Franklin and I withdrew our recommendation to use Gold Money at that time. And it appears that they've continued in business, and I just have not looked or done a due diligence since then. Whether or not they've managed to sort of run the operation successfully, I just don't know. But there were, at the time, there were others that I preferred clearly over Gold Money. And particularly given what's happened with the Anglo-American Alliance, I just think that there may be better arrangements. But Gold Money allows a fair amount of, or used to allow a fair amount of liquidity because of all the money laundering and sanction rules. They had gotten quite cumbersome. That had nothing to do with the current owners itself. Anyway, so I can't give you a recommendation on Gold Money, but that's in part because I'm not current. Dear Catherine, I found a credit union that says they portfolio their loans but have a service owner. Most of the members of their board are retired executives from Texaco. Is that a bad thing? No. In my opinion, that's not a bad thing. Also, do you recommend opening accounts online or do you think it's best to open accounts in person? I always think it's better to build a relationship in person. Now, I'm all over the world, and my bank, you know, I'm dealing with my bank by email and phone, but I've spent a lot of time getting to know them, and I just really think you want to create a personal relationship where they know you, they know what you look like, and you have a personal relationship. Hi, Catherine. My mother recently passed away. I'm the beneficiary of an annuity. Do you have any ideas on whether to receive the money in a lump sum or at a lower amount or in annuity payments? I don't. I have no... You know, if I had an opinion, it would be based on reading the policy and looking in detail at it. And I'd need to know a lot about your financial situation, so I just can't tell you. We don't have an urgent need to receive the money now. Also, I wanted to ask you for a referral for a financial advisor. We don't have a high income. We are both 53. My husband developed software for federal government and I homeschool. But we've saved over the years and have inherited properties and assets from my mother. We live in California and have to decide whether to sell some rental property. She had an investment in another state. Do you have any advice? What I would do is I would find a good financial advisor who can help you. I don't know anyone in California, and I really don't recommend people. I will say this. I've had several financial advisors on the Solari report, and in fact, one's coming back for this equity overview. That's Tim Cabin, and I would listen. If you look at the most recent equity overviews, we've had two on, Tim being one of them, and I would listen to those and see if those are people you might feel comfortable with. Tim's in Pennsylvania, and the other one is in New York. And spends time in Vermont, so it's not California. But they're perfectly competent to handle someone. I will say this, to do well at this, it's not just a matter of finding the right financial advisor. It's a matter of taking the time to really get them to teach you and educate you so that you can make intelligent decisions on your own. You know, the ideal planner is somebody who helps plan you out of their lives, because you can really, with their help, take over and assume sort of mastery of your finances. But it sounds like you and your family have done a very good job of sort of building wealth and being prudent. So the one piece of advice I would say, yeah, get a good financial advisor. It's worth the money. but invest the time to really get them to teach you what you need to know. Because ultimately, a lot of these decisions in this kind of environment, it's what one of my partners used to say, are gestalt issues. They're really strategic issues on the chessboard because we're in the middle of a war. So take the time. Dear Catherine, and I should just say, the last two equity overviews should help, and this one currently may help as well. Dear Catherine, firstly, I'd like to say I love your worldview and all the important things you highlighted for so many people. I also write because I'd like to invest in the Solari funds. I did call and leave a message at Solari. I've also called Parvin and have requested a talk with Stephen, although I've not heard back. Anyway, I touched base with their sort of lead contact person and made sure that they got in touch with you. Do you still offer consulting services looking at portfolios? I don't. I don't do investment advisory anymore. I just do a screen with another money manager who's now launched the mutual fund that you're describing. So that's, much more broadly available. But on the investment advisory side, I just do the screen. What I would suggest is the last two equity overviews, I think, could be exceptionally helpful, including some of the links. And I think this is a great environment where it pays to invest time in really getting mastery of your assets and how to care for them. So listen to the equity overview and then ask questions. Someone then wrote in and asked about carbon credits, and I haven't looked at carbon credits for a long time. The last time I did, I basically concluded that they were a financial scam that would serve central control and harm millions of people. But they fizzled out, but it looks to me like they're coming back. I had hoped to watch the podcast you sent before I recorded this, but I haven't had a chance. And just have to tell you, the environment is slamming us all. Anyway, it's definitely on my list to look into carbon credits again, because they're clearly, the risk that they're back is very real. Catherine, I try to catch all your podcasts, including interviews and Ask Catherine segments, but at times I miss one of them. So forgive me if this topic is already covered. Everyone who pays attention knows that central banks around the world have been creating money to stimulate their economies. I don't think they've been doing it to stimulate their economies. I think they've been doing it to consolidate financial and economic control. So when you put half of the economy out, you close down their businesses. That means you can, and then you print money and give it to the other half of the economy to buy the economy that's been closed down. That's economic warfare. That's not stimulation. It's massive subsidy of the people you're printing and giving the money to, in part because they're getting free money. But the other part is the value of your assets are being forced dramatically down, and you're being put in a position where you have to sell them at the wrong time. So inflation and talk of hyperinflation dominates the media. I think part of that, it's true, inflation is upon us, but I think part of that is they're trying to scare you and talk you out of cash so they can go all digital, so don't let them do that. However, if money is created through the issuance of debt, isn't money removed from the credit markets and financial system by either the repayment of debt or debt default? Yes, if you bankrupt lots of people and you kill lots of people, genocide is very deflationary. So it's clear that as they print money, they're engineering deflation on the other side. I would say that Fauci's job is to manufacture deflation. If hundreds of thousands of small businesses have closed, I would assume a large portion of these businesses were in debt. To some extent, are now unable to repay their debts. I'm sure that's true. I'm not asserting that all small businesses that have closed or filed for bankruptcy protection have defaulted on their debt obligations, but if some portion of the small business have been unable to pay their debts, then money is being destroyed. My question is, the Federal Reserve pumping money, creating what appears to be inflation, into the system to offset the destruction of money being the result of debt destruction. Are these events offsetting? They're offsetting, but again, think of this as a leverage buyout of half of the economy by the other half of the economy. I'm grossly oversimplifying because small business is not necessarily half of the company, but this is an economic war. You destroy your enemy's ability to function, and then you put him in a debt trap, at which point he's got to sell assets, and he's got to sell them cheap, and then you print money, give it to your friends, and then they buy those guys' assets. So think of this as a war or disaster capitalism, but it has nothing to do with stimulating the economy. the last thing you don't stimulate the economy by shutting down Main Street. You kill Main Street by shutting down Main Street. Dear Catherine, love your work. Thanks for being a shining light in a darkening world. You're a massive inspiration to me. If you ever feel too disturbed by what's happening, at least, you know, you're bringing truth to a world that has less and less, and there are people who love what you do. Some questions on my mind, if you find the time, is the Fed lying about inflation because they can't control it without crashing the system? No, the Fed is lying about inflation because they don't want you to know what's really going on. They're in an engineering central control game, and they don't want you to see the game. Or is this on purpose? If so, is the purpose currency debasement? If not, what is the purpose of the inflation? The inflation is part and parcel of juicing the existing system for everything they can pull out of it before they switch. If it's currency debasement, how does it play out? There are hundreds of different ways for it to play out. Hundreds. I think the chances are very good they're trying to move the dollar reserve currency to a global control mechanism and sort of take it away from the U.S. Do they want to destroy the whole system so that CBDC will be the answer? Well, they want to destroy the whole system because they think that with new technology, they can have complete central control. And that includes returning the human race to slavery. Slavery is historically the most profitable business. Now, the way they've engineered slavery this time is with mind control. So, you know, it's 2030, you will have no assets, but you'll be happy. You know, that sort of mind control world. If yes, they can collapse the system with higher rates, why use inflation? They're not trying to collapse the system. They're trying to liquidate and compost one system while they use all of those resources to build their new system and make it very powerful and strong. Is there a realistic alternative tool to stop inflation other than raising rates? Yes. You know, decentralize money and wealth creation. We don't need central banks. Go look at the silver and gold payment calculator, because if we start circulating gold and silver and coins and cash locally, we don't need central banks. I think the more we get away from central banks and what they're doing, the better. Is there a realistic alternative tool to stop inflation? Oh, sorry. I don't see how productivity can be boosted to match. I do. If you look at what's going on in the world, I think massive increase in productivity is possible, but not without ending secrecy, which will be a shocking problem. And, you know, if somebody at the top said, you know, we need to downsize the population, which is clearly what is upon us, I would say, for God's sakes, downsize the, let the, bring the secrecy down and let the shock of that sort out who's enduring in the future and who would rather leave now. If they stop printing today, would that help? You know, you're thinking in kind of a mechanistic, you know, printing money versus not printing money. And when central bankers talk, they talk about all these sort of hydraulic pumping things with, you know, money supply up and debt and interest rates going up or down, and as though you're really looking at a, you know, the back end of a Wurlitzer or something. And it's a much bigger game. You have to look at both sides of the balance sheet. It's funny, Richard Mayberry just published a newsletter talking about why the Fed was destroying the ability of mothers to raise children properly. And it's because he sees all of the different relationships between, you know, living people and things and healthy environments and places and how the financial system works. If you succeed in currency replacement or alternative, if they succeed in a currency replacement, again, I think they're just trying to globalize the dollar and then launch CBDCs. What role would gold and silver hold aside from a community use, which I know you advocate for? Well, all the central bankers want the gold. That's what they're backing. If you look at how they're rebalancing and moving gold around the world, central bankers are buyers. So why do they want it? I don't want to buy seed and garden either. I would suggest to you that you need neighbors or local farmers who you hope do. You might want to finance them if you want to have fresh food. I fear the traditional hedges against inflation won't work if it's not traditional inflation. I absolutely agree with that. This is going to be very, very quirky. And what would I exchange my silver and gold for if everyone adopts a new currency system? Why are you asking me that question? You know exactly what happens if everyone, including you, adopt a new currency system. Then no one has any use for silver and gold other than the central bankers who seem to be using it among themselves to back their, you know, their central banking system. So I'm not worried about, will the central bankers want gold or not? They can, however, manipulate the retail price up or down. If you believe the real value of your gold and silver is their latest retail price, you can get shaken out. But here's the thing. You know, there's a theory we have to go with the flow. So everybody's going to go over there, therefore it's hopeless. You know, everybody wants to be a slave, and they're all going to go over there and be a slave. So I need to go over there and be a slave because everybody's going to do it, and it's hopeless for me to do anything that is like human or authentic or real or whatever. And if you look at my assessment of where these guys are going, if I'm the only one over on the left doing the human authentic thing and I have to trade gold and silver with myself, that's where I'll be. I'll see you there. I couldn't care less. If everybody else wants to be a slave, I'm not going to be a slave. So reminds me of my favorite quote from John Rappaport. Hopelessness is an op, and it's planet-wide. Question, Catherine, how to best protect myself from issues with SBA COVID-related loans? $150K each business wire payment starting in July. SBA offered more than up to $500,000 each business unsecured, but now completely unclear about the qualifying procedures. I didn't do this. My business is A-OK now without more help, but wonder about possible sinister SBA goals. I don't know. I mean, I'm assuming that SBA is either going to forgive these amounts or require repayment. You know, if it was left to me, I would repay. I didn't take any of these things. You know, our business didn't suffer because we're an online business. And if anything, more people wanted to know what in the world was going on. So we were able to turtle through. I don't want any of these monies. I don't want to be in any of these programs. My concern is if they forgive this, you know, somewhere in some law, it's going to subject you to provisions that you don't know about, weren't in a contract that you signed, and can put you in the corner. But I don't know that it is. So, but if it, you know, if I were in your shoes, I'd pay them back because I don't want that kind of money. I don't want that kind of risk. If they come in the door and say, oh, yeah, but you know, you got a forgiveness, I want to be able to say, no, I didn't. So as Franklin Sanders says, all government money comes with a sock in the jaw. You're still with Chase Bank. I cannot fathom that. I absolutely cannot fathom that. If you look at the long list of criminal activities by Chase, I can't imagine anybody running a business who feels safe. So if you look at our ESG wrap-up, we did an insert on every criminal and civil settlement since 2006 we could find. J.P. Morgan Chase, it was over $42 billion. I will tell you, in the Madoff Ponzi scheme, Chase was the senior partner they controlled. So I cannot understand why anybody would still be in Chase other than mind control or fear. You know, some people are afraid they're going to get assassinated if they pull out. If they have a big enough or sensitive enough operation, I can appreciate. You know, you don't want your kids to get killed. But I think you said all your alternatives are on the Yodlee reporting list. Even if every bank in the country is ordered to do the Yodlee reporting list, which may happen, there are significantly better and safer banks than Chase Manhattan. So I just got to tell you, shame on you. Your financing, I can't tell you what you're supporting in financing. I think you know. And here's the thing. That presents all sorts of energetic risks to you. It's not just financial and legal risks. It's energetic risks. So somehow you're not hearing what I'm saying about this, because this is really important. And then you sent some links, which I think they put down below. Okay, thanks. Catherine, any chance you could create a nice PDF file describing the details of the missing $96 trillion? I would tuck it inside my pocket copy of the U.S. Constitution. It would be handy once the new Bolsheviks start their gamemanship to confiscate all U.S. property based on the unpayable debt obligations they themselves have saddled the U.S. with. Would also be great if you could expand your thoughts about the push for gender confusion being a ruse to enable legal rights being given to AI or other non-sentient beings. Thanks for all you do. A pocket copy is a great idea. I'll put that in the parking lot. The parking lot is where we collect great ideas, but we don't have time or the bandwidth to do them. But it's a great idea, and I'm going to write that down. Actually, I might ask Skidmore to do that. Let me see what he's interested in. Okay. Stock options. I have a daughter working at Google, offered free stock options. Are there any downsides to this? I was wondering if it is like Bitcoin that she should play from her winnings and sell some in the short term and keep some for the long term. There are two issues. One is sort of spiritual, energetic. One is financial. How valuable these options are depend on how well Google does financially. I think there are enormous spiritual and financial costs to working in a place like Google. You know, some of it depends on what you're doing there. Whether or not Google succeeds in the long run, you know, I hope they fail. So I think the question for your daughter is, where does she want to put her money? And does she have a better place to put her money than Google stock? And that's the big decider as to, you know, how fast she moves out of them. I'm assuming she needs appreciation in the stock before she can sell. But I don't know. Make sure she knows how to get as many skills as she wants and then get the hell out of Google. I wouldn't have anything to do with them. Subject I perceive. Yes, ma'am, a solution I have. A legal team in the courts as we have now may or may not be able to uphold the law considering it has been breached. The public, the principals, the private and corporations involved, are they and will they hold accountable? The pandemic is extortion through coercion. The public was forced into the pandemic for suppression and restriction. The gain was economic supremacy through monopoly. That's all. What would the courts do? Courts can do a lot. And people going, lawyers going into the courts and putting facts and expert witness down on paper can then turn a lot and turn around and do a lot in the independent media. So I am a huge believer in going into courts and what can be accomplished in the courts, even when, you know, on a case where we lose. You know, we're going to have to be the bringer of law because the problem is there is no law. So we're going to have to be the bringer of law. And going to courts is just one of many different ways. I had the privilege of being in Switzerland last week with Mary Holland, who's overseeing all the different lawsuits that Children Health Defense is bringing. And I just think it's making a huge difference. You know, you got to back up the Beck brothers. And there are many different ways of doing that. But one of the ways we have to do it was with litigation. And, you know, cases are getting won, and that's huge. Comment, housing and costs. I just recently sold my house in Colorado Spring and wanted to share my experience. This is fascinating. This is a great comment on all the cash, institutional cash, coming into the market. I would suggest you go. I'm going to leave this in the notes and would suggest you read it online. But I really, really appreciate your sending in your report. It's anecdotal evidence from the ground that gives us the best insight as to what's really going on. And transactional information of this kind is invaluable. There's a great moment 2 weeks ago in Money and Markets when John Titus said, you know, they hate anecdotal evidence because it's awesome. And it's true. It is awesome. So thank you very much for that. I really appreciate it. Catherine, here's confirmation of what Catherine has been saying about the community rural banks and how CDBCs will affect them. My parents are good friends with the VP of a community bank in, this is a place in the United States. The VP of that bank told them they believe they have at least 2 more years before universal basic income and CBDCs destroy them and all small community banks. This is very sobering. Yes, it is. Because all liquidity from Main Street has come from these small community banks and credit unions. It appears from this that the small local banks are aware of what's going on. They just don't know how to fight back. So one of the things we decided when I was in Switzerland, this was Mary Holland's idea, Cash Friday. On Friday, everybody use all cash. If for any reason you have to do something digitally on Friday, make a record of how much that is and then make it up on one of the other 6 days. Now, we have started, I appointed somebody to run the Cash Friday campaign for us, and there are activists and other people all over the world are going to do it. So this is kind of percolating, but expect this to come out. Somebody just sent an email saying the Fed has put out an announcement that they're not printing any more cash. Wouldn't surprise me because this is a war, but I haven't been able to corroborate that. I have someone looking on the Fed website now. Question, paying off my home mortgage. I have a 3.5% 15-year loan on which I have about 4.5 years left since I've been paying extra on the principal from the get-go. I'm within striking distance of paying it off, of which it would greatly reduce my available cash, but looks doable. Any pitfalls I need to be aware of? Yeah, you want to make sure you have a cash reserve. You know, now is a good time to have a high cash reserve, gold, silver, coins, readily available. So I would not run down your reserves too far unless you have the ability to bring them right back up. If you do have excess cash relative to what you want sitting around at home or in a custodian deposit box, you know, feel free to get that down to even less than 4.5 years. I think everything you can do to get out of debt is good. Hi, Catherine. Did you know that transhumanism paved the way for the COVID pandemic? Gain-of-function studies that were undertaken by the BSL-4 lab in Wuhan used humanized mice, oh, how gruesome, for the purpose of distilling genetically engineered coronaviruses. If it weren't for humanized mice made from fetal tissue, then SARS-CoV-2 would never have emerged, escaped, and triggered the COVID pandemic. One of the things that is so gruesome is to see the push to get more and more fetal tissue. I really think the whole abortion effort, particularly the late-term abortion effort, has been entirely driven by the pharmaceutical industry trying to manufacture more basically human material to make stuff and test stuff and research stuff. And there's no doubt the technology is frightening, out of control, that they're doing very gruesome things. Thus, it appears that the COVID pandemic can be directly traced back to the current and federal and statewide push for more abortions. Yes, I completely agree. I just realized I didn't answer the question about transhumanism being part of the push for robots. If you go to the YouTube channel for the Salier Report, it has all of our old videos, and I have one with Farrell from one of the wrap-ups where I talk about why I think the push, part of the push for transhumanism, is they want to create a labor system that can integrate robotics, cyborgs, and humans into one system. And so you basically need to delete sex. Now, I also think if you look at what they're doing with the push to make women infertile, because I think that's one of the things that are happening with the COVID-19 injection, they really believe they can grow babies in incubators. And it wouldn't surprise me if there's part of this push is a push to centrally control what genetics can come into the world so that a man and woman can't get together, have a baby, you know, and nature decides what the genetics are. They literally want to centrally control what genetics are allowed to come into the world. It's the ultimate hubris. I really appreciate your saying this because I think the tinkering is clearly a real problem. Now, I'm not a great believer that whatever COVID-19 has been, that it was just one thing. I think there are multiple things going on in multiple places. Not to forget the flu, so the annual flu. But I know, you know, I believe in February 2020, I had whatever it was. And I can't tell you, it felt just like the weird feeling we got. I was targeted with low-grade biological warfare when I was dealing in the litigation in Washington. And it had this horrible, weird, synthetic, almost demonic feel to it. It was so, you know, I've had a lot of bad flus, and they're horrible to have, but there's a natural feeling to it, and this was so unnatural, whatever it was. I'm sure there was something roaming around, more than one thing that's been made in the lab. Hi, Catherine. There's been a lot going on the personal front here, and I've missed out some recent Salier stuff. My mom is in late-stage congestive heart failure, but is doing quite well at home, and my family is putting things down to help out and avoid expensive home care. I've flown across country 2 times and about to drive across country for the second time in 2 months. Getting out of the emergency stage in hospital is what my commentary pertains to. Okay, so there's a long description of what's going on in the hospitals that's worth reading. I'm going to put it in here. I really appreciate your sending it. one of the things you're grappling with is the fact that you have a lot of family members who are deep into the TV and the official reality and can't get unplugged from that. And it's something, it's a great divide that we're all dealing with. But you also sent a picture of your new blue healer. Oh my God, is she beautiful? It's unbelievable. Now, she looks like a red healer in the picture. I can't tell. Of course, we always refer to our red healers as blue healers in Angry Valley. That is one of the cutest puppies I've ever seen. I love these healers. They're just what wonderful dogs. Hi, Catherine. I don't know how familiar you are with the Book of Revelation, but this statue is eerily similar to the description of the image of the beast. I am not saying this is it, but things are definitely moving in that direction. It's funny, I've tried several times to really understand the Book of Revelation, I have to tell you. I don't get it. I really don't get it. Other than one of my favorite scriptures in the Bible is that it says in the last days that the spirit of offense will rise. The commonality of people giving or taking offense just goes off the charts. And boy, is that the case. Somebody asked me, have I ever heard of welcomeleap.org? No, but I'll take a look. It looks interesting. Quote, they sent a quote from Huxley. This is really great. I'd never seen this one. Medical science has made such tremendous progress that there's hardly a healthy human left. That's fabulous. I have to post that one. Are you familiar with Whitney Webb's investigative journalism? Interesting insights. I love Whitney Webb. I think she does great stuff. I invited her to be on the Soleil Report, and she preferred instead that we go on her podcast. So I did her podcast, which is fine. One of the things I love about Whitney Webb is she deep dives contracts. Government contracts can teach you so much about what's really going on, but it's hard work to deep dive it, and she's been deep diving it for a while, so I think she's got tons of people sending it to her. But if you watch the transactional train tracks of what the government's really doing on the contracting budget, you see so much, and it's hard work, and she does a great job. So I'm a big Whitney Webb fan. Hi, Catherine. I've been pondering why the powers that be seem to be such in a rush to implement plans. Farrell has mentioned this observation and that it causes them to make mistakes. Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. Today I watched Penn Davidson's Suspicious Observer Report. I've been reading his books thanks to some of the subscribers who follow him carefully. And we just had one subscriber wrote a review of his big book on the Sun, which I have read. And I had somebody who was much more knowledgeable about the topics posted. But I think he's got some very interesting work and is well worth your time. He once again highlighted the documented decline of the magnetosphere. Farrell and I talked about that on the second quarter wrap-up in Unanswered Questions, so make sure to check out that discussion. And commented that we must watch the birds and other animal anomalies. Great, great advice. We should all be doing that. As well as the lightning for confirmation and timing of imminent Earth changes. Yes, there's no doubt that the leadership is worried about geophysical changes. So then you point in, you've been in the Black Hills, South Dakota for almost a year now. It's so beautiful there. God, I love it. I'm a sky watcher. I've been seeking lightning storms that are extraordinary and breathtaking. That is so beautiful. When you're in a lightning storm in the Black Hills, wow. This is part of my hearing Ben D. mention it. Despite the drought elsewhere, we're getting storms here with some regularity, not to mention great sound effects. Yeah, crack and boom. It can really be dramatic in places like where you are. Do you think what's been seems to be occurring might be what the powers that be are worried about timing-wise? Because their space satellites for global surveillance, control, and weaponry could be damaged or destroyed. I don't know. They're clearly very worried about a number of the risk issues. If you look at the extent to which they're manipulating the weather and magnetosphere, I just think, you know, I don't know. Between nuclear testing and manipulation of the magnetosphere and weather manipulation, I think, you know, there's a lot of tinkering with Mother Nature that could get dangerous. Yes, life on Earth could be quite difficult survival-wise, but I, for one, would certainly prefer having to try and live with little or no infrastructure versus the tyranny the powers that be seem to have in mind for us. As we both know, God's in charge, but I remain curious. Oh, it sounds like you're doing great. Thanks for your opinion and for all you do for us Solarians. So I think trying to get to the bottom of what's going on with the magnetosphere and the weather manipulation, these are great areas. And I know Skidmore has been, you know, looking into weather modification. We posted one of his surveys of the literature on the topic. You might want to check it out. But I think these are exceptionally fruitful areas for research. Okay, then there is an unbelievably long series of comments from a wonderful civil servant at HUD who's watching what's happening with the civil service. And I have to tell you, I think an effort is being made to systematically reduce the power and access to information by not just move things into corporate contractors, but basically make it impossible for the civil service to stop what is, in essence, a reengineering of the federal government out of the U.S. and congressional control. It's what I expect to see. Anyway, but it's worth reading this. It's worth going into the show notes and reading this because it shows you, you know, I hate to say it, it shows you how the boys do it. Earlier this year, someone asked you a question about the Calhoun Mouse Utopia study, and you said you would need to check it out. Not sure if you've had time to do that, but if not, Corbett covered it in December 2020. So, as you know, I love Corbett, and it's not surprising he covered this. I put a link in News Trends and Stories of a overview of what this was. Basically, it shows if you herd mice into an area where they have no space, you know, they turn into slugs, including the mother. It's pretty frightening, and it just shows you the idea of moving everybody into little boxes in the city is not a very good idea unless depopulation is your goal. Or, you know, again, control of the kids. They don't want families and mothers controlling the kids anymore. Dear Catherine, I'm a new subscriber, and the Slayer Report has been tremendously helpful to me in navigating these strange times. Many thanks to you and your team. I was wondering what your thoughts are on the termination of the Keystone pipeline and the fight surrounding other pipelines as well. Good, bad, complicated. Pipelines have there are two sides to this issue. I have not looked closely at Keystone. My understanding was that it really wasn't that economic, but I could be wrong about that. And the fights over it, I mean, if you're a rancher, you don't want a big pipeline just going across your land, including for the fact that sometimes they have breaks and spills. So, you know, there are a lot of people who don't want pipelines going over their lands, and yet the push to get oil and gas places gets ever more ferocious, and the pipelines are trying to make more and more money. So it's a typical balancing, if you're a government official, between getting energy from here to there and upsetting all the people that the pipeline has to go across. There's been some recent litigation that's pretty interesting on this, and this one is hard to balance. Aloha, Miss Fitz. I shall keep this brief. I know you're one of the busiest women in the world. So this is one that we did this last time. So this got in again. But they're recommending that I check out a Hawaiian minister. Anyway, it looks pretty interesting. I will say this. I'm getting, if you look at the recommendations I'm getting to read books or watch videos or listen to podcasts, it's many multiples of the hours that I have in a month. You know, so there's no way I can read 1,000 pages of, or 1,000 hours of books, watch between videos and, you know, I'm up to about 1,000 hours of requests. So if I don't get to your book, it's not because it's not important. It's that I've got about 200 books piled up here that I want to read. And I got 400 piled up in the den back in Hickory Valley. I wonder if it's past time for us to wake up. Friends, it is just a matter of time when the plug is pulled by China on the U.S. economy with Joe Biden in the White House. Oh, sorry, I skipped over something. Somebody sent here it is. Does this email ring true? I thought you may have better insight on its validity than myself, but if so, we need to spread the word. Okay, so somebody sent a message on China and how China was basically taking over economically and what can we do about it. Here's what I would do. There is no doubt that China is emerging as more and more economically powerful every day, and it's going to keep happening. I would strongly recommend, if you don't understand what this is, reading our Rise of the Asian Consumer wrap-up that I wrote several years ago. and it's sort of a long-term trajectory of what's going to happen, I would read State of Our Currencies. That has a lot about the Chinese building global liquidity. I also did an interview in 2014 with Steve Roche about his book Unbalanced. If anybody really wants to understand the China-US relationship, I just say you've got to read Unbalanced by Steve Roche. He was the vice chairman of Morgan Stanley out in Asia, and it's absolutely a great overview. I did a book review of a book called China RX about China's involvement in our pharmaceutical supplies, and I strongly recommend you just read that book review. Two movies I've recommended. One is American Factory. It was people who banked it were the Obamas, you know, and I hate to recommend anything that the Obamas did, but it, you know, it's a great documentary, and their reasons for doing it were very sensible. So, you know, sometimes we can agree. The other was documentary of the year more than a few years ago. It's called Red Obsession. It's about the Chinese cornering the French wine market, the Bordeaux wine market, and it's absolutely fascinating. You see the problem of what's going on country after country, sort of market after market, of the Chinese, because of their size, absolutely overwhelming and dominating. So I would check those out. I put a list in the show notes of what I would recommend, and I'll make sure they put links up in the on the subscriber input and website. Hello, Catherine. I'm a relatively new subscriber. I really appreciate your content. I have a lot to catch up on, so I visit your site almost daily. I noticed that the thumbnails of the weekly updates alternate between two images, and sometimes I don't remember. So this, I think, is Money and Markets, and they're saying get more thumbnails for Money and Markets. I think that's a good idea, and I will try and see if we can't do that. And I really appreciate your saying something. Okay. Hi, Catherine. We've had great success using Vault Health saliva testing for my son's private high school. We're trying to come to Portugal. I was with a group of people that flew in from the United States, and I asked them to send me what they did. I would not do a nasal test. Do not do a nasal test. Do not do a nasal test. Use a saliva test. You say here that Portugal isn't accepting one. Fly into Zurich and then travel overland to fly into Zurich and drive. But find an airport that will take a saliva test. And I always find Zurich or Amsterdam to be the best to fly into. I haven't checked what Amsterdam does. In the subscriber input, we have a couple forums where people have been posting what they've been learning about European saliva tests. But I sent an email to one of the people who came in from San Francisco last week to ask her what the saliva test had been recommended at the Zurich airport. So if I find that, I'll post it in subscriber input. Hi, Catherine. Do you know anything about this fellow? He sounds good. A friend, one of your subscribers, asked me about him yesterday, and then I saw this. Let me just check. He's new to me. Hi, Catherine. First again, let me thank you. The value you bring to my life, it's Larry and so many others, is invaluable. I have good friends who live in London. Over the last year, we've been discussing the similarities and differences in how the ruling class is communicating and managing us, the common people. The extension that Boris recently made in lockdowns now to the end of July is no surprise. They constantly keep moving the goalposts. But for some reason, they've opened up the U.S., assumed to be temporarily, while other regions like Canada and U.K. are not. Maybe to stage false flag event here in the U.S. I just don't know. I would say this. There's no doubt that the Commonwealth countries are just getting a vicious time. Can you share your thoughts on the UK versus EU versus US geopolitical situation? Why is the EU approving vax passports ahead of the UK? Why has the UK, Canada been in this perpetual state of lockdowns for the last 16 months? That's a very good question, why the Commonwealth has been pretty rigorous in terms of the tyranny. Why has the EU done passports? Because there are no guns here. And basically, you have a disarmed population, so it's easier to get the passports going faster. I also suspect it's they're further on getting rid of cash, but I can't be sure. So, and the Fed, because it's a reserve currency, has bigger issues to work out before they can do passports. So I think it's operationally easier here, and because the population doesn't have guns, you know, it's easier to get going. I always come back to the money in the City of London. Vatican is controlling the U.S. plus the elite bankers, and assume that that has something to do with it. Yeah, but because the dollar is the reserve currency, they have bigger challenges in trying to flip the system. And the other thing is the states do have real power, and it's not so easy. You know, I think that's one of the reasons they're doing a lot to try and get the United States to break up, because then it's going to be easier to sort of pick them off and control them one by one. With Bibi now out and all these different regions doing different things, my head is spinning trying to figure out the strategy for Mr. Global. One of the they've got AI and software, so complexity helps them. Maybe they're trying different things in different regions to see what works and what doesn't. Yes, they are constantly prototyping, certainly now. Do you mind sharing your thoughts at a high level on this? Apologies for the lengthy email, but every week after Money and Markets, I discuss these topics with my circle, and these questions have been opening. I think there's latitude for different countries to do it different ways, and there's also benefit of having things complex and incoherent. It keeps people preoccupied dealing with the complexity. And so if you've ever looked at a Myers-Briggs profile in the second segment of the four segments, you're either an N or an S, and 70% of the U.S. population are S's, which means they're twig people. And if you can create these complex systems, you get the twig people all engaged in dealing with the twigs, and they never see the big picture. And that is definitely happening. There's no doubt about it. That is definitely happening. Dear Catherine, I'm considering running for city council in my city because I do not want a repeat of lockdowns. I also want to see the Beck brothers coming. What do you think? I don't know enough about where you are in your city to know whether it makes sense. But I think, you know, I think what we're dealing with is a global problem. It's going to be everywhere. There's no running away. So in your case, if you like where you live, I'd be inclined to run for city council. Can't hurt to run for city council and also have a plan if you don't win as to where you might like to go if it's time to leave. In the last few weeks, I've learned of an outbreak of mind-altering natural drugs involving mushrooms. Are you thinking of ayahuasca? What are you thinking of? Reminiscent of the last 1960s, but centered upon military personnel who are discharged or retired or having troubles of a mental type. Without going into details, have you heard of it? No, I don't know. I don't know. The possibilities are many. Dear Catherine, I found this link to the film Bullworth. I had mentioned that as sort of outing the insurance industry. Although it's only tangentially an outing of the insurance industry, the message I got is that the politicians, the executive, the legislature, the judiciary, the bureaucracy, a whole lot of them are owned to some extent by large corporations. They are in turn owned by either BlackRock or Vanguard, both of which are ultimately owned by ? If one compares Bulwer's family to that of Nina, then contrary to what we are led to believe, the Black family is in much better shape than the White family, even in the case of the drug dealer's boys, in which the family unit is not biological. I realize that the film is a satire, but it makes me wonder, are our leaders really humans, or are they another species? Your guess is as good as mine. You know, I think both are possible, but I have no idea. You know, I continue to ruminate about who Mr. Global is and why he's behaving the way he's behaving. Question, any dots to connect between the June 21st, 25 Alaska flight EMF warning HARP and the record temperatures in the Northwest? You know, I absolutely believe they're manipulating the ionosphere and the weather. So Farrell and I talk about that. Unanswered questions in part two in the annual wrap-up. I would check out that discussion. Going Direct Reset, the subject is transition to CBDC. Thanks for the Going Direct Reset papers. Any ideas how to transition to CBDC? We'll go. I can't imagine our life savings will magically appear in our CBDC balance. What do you think will happen to personal savings? That's a very big question, and we're doing the CBDC theme in the last week of July, so I would suggest you listen to that and then ask your questions then. I'll certainly be looking at what they're going to do to outstanding assets. I'm not worried. I think the chances of them just confiscating your assets when CBDC comes out immediately is small. I think they'll just do things that will cause people's, sort of personal equity owned by individuals and families to let it kind of die on the vine. I will say this, the Going Direct Reset should mail from the printer this week or next, and I can't, if you haven't read that, I strongly recommend it. Hello, Catherine. No question, just a curiosity that these two showed up in the same day in the Daily Bank compliance briefing. What a great find. Big compliments to you. I love this one. One of them was about the Department of Homeland Security publishing up a notice of public meeting and extension of comment period to avoid inform a rulemaking that would amend the DHS regulations to set the minimum technical requirements and security standards for mobile or digital driver's licenses. Here we come, the database, passports, real ID, ID 2020, here it comes. FDIC launches tech sprint. The FDIC has announced a tech sprint designed to explore new technologies and techniques that would help expand the capabilities of banks to meet the needs of unbanked individuals and households. This is where the African-American community has saved America for many years by refusing to let the banks get total control. Wow, can you imagine this? First time since the March 2020, no questions under health. Recommended links, somebody sent in one of the videos related to asking questions about whether graphene oxide is in the injections. Very interesting material. I don't know if it's true. Then somebody sent the David Martin link about life insurance companies ruling the world, which I disagree with. I think the people who own the central banks and the insurance companies and the banks rule the world. And the question is, how do they do it? You know, who's got the biggest spaceships? Catherine, FYI, you sent in a tender service notice from the UK government for temporary body storage in the event of an excess death situation for the 32 London boroughs. If you look at what they're calling the Delta variant going around right now, it's basically what it looks like to me is vaccine injury or, you know, infections caused by or disease caused by the materials in the injections. And if any of the tenpenny kind of predictions come true about what's going to happen in 18 months from now, or from the time that the injections were given, we could certainly see an excess death situation. There's no doubt about it. You know, let alone if they let out a new pathogen. You never know what they're going to do. This just shows that they are everywhere, even in Texas. This is about the hospital workers who were fired because they wouldn't take the injection. Outrageous story. I hope they sue the bejesus out of that hospital. Hi, Catherine. I'm sure you have lots of suggestions of people you will want to find out more about or interview. This man is interesting and has studied law quite a bit. Yeah, so he does look interesting. Thank you for sending that. Hello, I'm catching up on Amazing Polly. She has some good stuff. I avoid Amazing Policy. I agree she does Amazing Polly. I agree she does have some good nuggets, but I also think there's a lot of misinformation in there, and there's very little information about who or what she really is. It wouldn't surprise me. You know, my question is this an actress we're dealing with and a script that's being written? I would be pretty careful, but what you're telling me about this video where it has the footage on the Premier Brian Pallister up in Canada looks unbelievably interesting. So I'm gonna make sure I watch that because again she gets these great tidbits. Be careful. Hi Catherine, I recently saw a story about a giant image that is electronically changeable and planned to be installed all over the world. It will speak the local language everywhere. It projects images of historical characters or popular celebrities. It sent chills down my spine. Bizarre that they cloaked it as entertainment. Steve Quill had a great video on the Hagman Report. I was expecting this technology to come, but I hadn't heard of this, so I really appreciate your sending. You know, what they're going to be able to do with holograms and other things is pretty frightening. Jimmy Dore show deconstructs Colbert. I have not been able to watch Colbert since Colbert became a corporate mouthpiece for the deep state, and then Jon Stewart embraces lab leak theory as Colbert freaks out. I tend not to watch anything having to do with people like Colbert. It comes down to bandwidth. If there's just so much great quality, high integrity information I want to read and learn about, and I just getting very intolerant of watching disinformation and people who are rife with material omission. Must watch from Fulmic. Fulmic's doing a wonderful job, and among other things, the Germans are dealing with raids that are pretty frightening. You had a very brave decision by a judge. The judge has been raided. The expert witnesses have been raided. I mean, they're definitely sending the message. But that's a judge who makes a big difference. This is a video of a member of parliament in Finland. Please check it out. Yes, I had watched that and posted it. Boy, is he brave. Is he a great man? I'm telling you, they're great people and heroes everywhere. Wow. Stand up for human freedom. And then somebody sent in a Jack Cruz audio. Jason Bowden-Smith swears by a lot of Jack Cruz's healthcare information, and I always had Jason channel it because Cruz is a pretty quirky guy. I think Cruz on vitamin D in the mitochondria is very good. Somebody sent in a link from Harry the Greek, some good guys still fighting evils. I don't know too much about what you sent, but the links are here. Then somebody recommended another Fulmic interview. It's in the links. And then somebody had watched a recruiter for the oil industry who claims that they need to help oil companies prepare for 50% of their workforce to essentially die from the vaccine injuries. I don't believe this. I think this one is disinformation. So even though it's certainly interesting, I would completely ignore it. Someone had moved from New Mexico back into Switzerland, and I saw you at the great event we had for the Swiss subscribers. We're going to be bringing up a forum for the Swiss subscribers on Connect. Under the next question is, how do we connect? We're building connect.solari.com. We're just prototyping it now. Anybody who's started to gather a group locally, we're inviting in to be the testers and start groups. We have about 4 or 5 groups, and we want to open that up and get all subscribers invited and becoming members before the end of the year. I'm sorry, the end of the summer. But it's a way for people to start Solari Circles in their place or in their network and have a private social media kind of online forum to help them organize and communicate. One subscriber who is a truck driver sent in a link to a form from the state of Washington on the rules related to vaccinations and masks. And this is one of the most ridiculous things I've ever seen. It completely defies science. And the question is, what can be done to ward off these changes? The only way you can ward off these changes is basically to cut their tax flow. I mean, you literally have to cut off money to people. And what they're doing has nothing to do with science. It has nothing to do with medicine. It's basically tyranny. And it's designed to control you, frustrate you, destroy your society. You know, this is sort of Bolshevik genocide 101. So I don't think there is, you know, to me, you can leave Washington or you can have a tax revolt and basically, you know, escrow the money. There's a group of businessmen in Baltimore when they defunded the police. They're threatening to put all their taxes in escrow there. They're not going to pay the government when the government's not providing services. So this is basically governments destroying your society and your economy with makeup, you know, with fake science. So I don't think there's anything you can do. You basically have to pull the plug on the government. You have to pull their money. But I would think if you're in the state of Washington, I'd move over to Idaho or Utah or Texas. Get out. I think you got to get out. And part of it is you're finding the mind control because you need to be in a place where you can find 5 to 10%. Corey Lynn, we're working with Corey Lynn to get a big series done on vaccine passports. And she just published part one. You can find it at Solari.com on the homepage. And I strongly suggest you read it because all this hoopla of mask and distancing requirements is just part of trying to get complete digital control. And then, you know, then if you think this control is bad, wait till you see what's next. Serious folks, they're, you know, they're planning on slavery. Then one wonderful subscriber sent in a long discussion and description of their feedback on Nina Hein's Food for the Soul. And it's a wonderful discussion. I love Food for the Soul. I love everything she does. Nina, of course, has a series on women artists, and they wanted to recommend a wonderful artist, Mary, I'm going to mispronounce her name, Mary Cassatt. One of the reasons I love the Barn Foundation and tried to get Nina to go is because she could see some amazing paintings from this collection, from this artist. Anyway, I sent it to Nina, who very much enjoyed reading it, and she replied and told you the reason she hasn't done a lot of coverage is because that one is so famous. She's trying to sort of pull out of obscurity other really great painters who haven't gotten the same attention. Okay, so all these notes, 40 pages of notes, will be in Money and Markets, in the subscriber links, and with the Ask Catherine audios. Again, I want to thank you for your questions because, you know, nobody is as smart as all of us, and it's amazing as we share what we're seeing on the ground and help each other, we get much smarter. This is how you build real intelligence. So I appreciate it. I appreciate you, and thank you for joining me on Ask Catherine on the Slayer Report. Ladies and gentlemen, have a great day.